Heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again as we enter into mid-August, which means minds and hearts of children and their parents are turning to the upcoming school year. Children, perhaps in dismay, and parents, perhaps in rejoicing that the routine and discipline of the academic year looms closer and closer. It's kind of that way, isn't it? For many adults, as well as for kids, the school year settles us back into routine. And although there is often an increase in busyness, there's also a comfort that comes in returning to a more regimented schedule. In my own life, I do look forward to many elements of reestablishing the routine of daily life under the demands of the school and church program year, but it does mean that I'll need to resharpen my focus and become more disciplined once again, as summer has afforded a lighter schedule and more time for flexibility and recreation. This adjustment back into a busier life can often be tumultuous. There's lots of things to prepare for. Demands on time can seem to come at a higher frequency, often causing frustration and a sense of being out of control. And if that's your experience too, I think our gospel lesson for this Sunday, the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, can be a great reminder of our Lord's presence and promise in your life. It's the familiar story of Jesus walking on the sea to the disciples in the midst of the night. The disciples would definitely have been feeling out of control as the tumultuous waves buffeted their boat. They are likely battling to keep the vessel afloat, sleepless, exhausted, when they spy Jesus walking toward them. And they cry out, "It's a ghost!" While their fears are compounded and begin to get the better of them, Jesus quickly responds, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." After which, Peter, indeed taking courage, steps out of the boat and begins to walk, also atop the raging sea, toward Jesus. We know that Peter's courage fails him, though. We know he starts to sink. We know also, though, that Jesus reaches out and grabs him. A couple of lessons for this week that I will take to heart. First, when we hear the Lord bidding us to take courage, we should do so. And in our courage, we should do as Peter did and seek to draw closer to Jesus. This may mean stepping into an even more precarious situation. For once we come to him, Jesus bids us to walk with him even to the cross. And that's where the second lesson for the week comes to me. However chaotic or threatening the situation in which we find ourselves, Jesus still reigns over it. And his intention is our good, your good, and my good. And should we find ourselves in over our heads, we only need cry out as Peter did, "Lord, save me." And he whom the wind and the sea obey will prove true to his word that he will never leave us or forsake us. First up on the show today, we'll check in with point person Father Tim Tron about the Eucharistic Revival and the upcoming Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis that is now less than a year away. Next, do you watch the Miss America pageant in January? If you're a practicing Catholic, let me encourage you to plan on it in 2024. Miss Minnesota herself, Angelina Amerigo, is with us to share about what her Catholic faith means to her. And navigating the English language and American culture can be tricky for people who come to Minnesota as refugees. We'll talk with three people from Guardian Angels Parish in Oakdale about their efforts to provide godly hospitality to refugees and about how you can join them in greeting others as Christ. That's all coming up on the show today. Thanks for joining us. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we are in the midst of an historic Eucharistic revival in the Archdiocese and across the United States. I hope you have taken steps to deepen your love of and devotion to Jesus, present to us in the most holy sacrament of the altar. But even if you haven't, it's never too late to get started. Here to update us on the revival and the upcoming National Eucharistic Congress is Father Tim Tran, the point person for the National Eucharistic Revival for our Archdiocese. Father Tim, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. How's it going? How's the role of being the point person for the Eucharistic Revival going?
It's been wonderful. I've been very blessed. Just been very grateful that the Lord has given me this opportunity just to kind of assist the Archbishop with his kind of pastoral ministry of the Archdiocese, and also to be connected on the national level too.
Yeah, that's really good. And I'm appreciative. I just picture that you're out there all the time, kind of with the clapboard out on street corners, you know, with say Eucharistic revival and that sort of thing, right? I mean, that's pretty much what's involved.
No, I think there's, there's a lot more to it than that. It's kind of a whole wide scale. There's different approaches. And that's a beautiful thing about the revival is that it's all grassroots. Every community, every archdiocese parish is different. And that's going to look different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you talk it up in parishes? Are you talking with other people one-on-one in groups? Are you sending out like email blasts and things like that? What are you doing to help people be aware of the Eucharistic revival?
Yeah, I've been more or less as a bridge to the communications of the Archdiocese. I've been in communications with priests and also to the leadership of the Archdiocese, just kind of giving them some information about what's coming up. I've also been invited to give some talks through various parishes and groups. I've been given a couple this summer to parishes, men's groups, and kind of really talking it up here at my own parish at St. Stephen's, because we can always grow in our deeper devotion to the Lord. So we've kind of undertaken a couple of projects here at the parish where I'm assisting the pastor. So I've been very kind of full in that sense. And also every time I have the opportunity to talk about the Eucharist, preaching, teaching, I try to do that as well.
Absolutely. And just in case there happens to be a listener or two out there who is unfamiliar with the whole concept of the Eucharistic revival, you want to give us just a quick rundown? What's going on in this? As I said, it's an historic event, right? So what's going on in our midst here with the Eucharist?
Yeah. So for those who do not know, about a year and a half ago, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have called together this National Eucharistic Revival, a three-year kind of process for all of us to be united on this effort to rediscover the centrality of our faith, our belief in Jesus Christ truly present in the Eucharist. And because there's been studies and statistics that have shown that a lot of people in our pews are unaware of this fundamental teaching and fundamental belief that what happens at the Mass becomes the bread and wine consecrated is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And hence, three-year process. We're in year two right now, which is the year of parish revival nationally.
Yeah.
And yeah, it all will culminate next year at the National Eucharistic Congress.
So what does that mean? Let's start there. I mean, I do want to get to the Congress for sure, but let's talk about being the parish revival. What does that mean?
It's the parish is the cell in which we all participate more or less in the mystical body of Christ. The whole archdiocese, you know, is kind of this principle of subsidiarity, right? And so the parish is the cell unit of our local community where we come and worship and adore God. And so for any type of movement to start, any type of catechesis, we encounter it there at our parish. throughout the small groups, to the different ministries and processes that we are participating or receive from, and more or less from this liturgy and the sacraments that we celebrate. And so it has to be at the parish level, where with the pastor, right, we are trying to invite those in our local community, even those who have fallen away from the faith, to rediscover this font. Because once you understand and realize the great gift that the Eucharist is, Jesus himself, there's no reason why you would ever want to leave the church. And it's the only reason why we want to come to the church, is because that's the only place where we can receive Jesus there.
Yeah, yeah. So efforts are going on in our parishes across the Archdiocese to help raise awareness of the Eucharistic revival. Like you said, Father, help people understand better and better the gift that the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist is in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. So it's great stuff that's going on there. Now let's go from subsidiarity to solidarity, and let's start talking about that Eucharistic Congress coming up next year in July in Indianapolis, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. It's over in Indianapolis. Very exciting moment in our church here. It's been decades since we've had the last National Eucharistic Congress here hosted in our United States. Actually, the last time we actually had a National Eucharistic Congress was in 1941 here in St. Paul. So it's a very great honor that we have that kind of connection to this upcoming 10th National Eucharistic Congress.
Mm, yeah. And what is a Eucharistic Congress now?
The Eucharistic Congress is a kind of a gathering that's called forth by the bishops, in which it's more like you've heard of the recent World Youth Day. It's kind of that on a miniature scale, on a national scale, where we're inviting all Catholics to come for some days of rejuvenation, renewal of sacramental worship and mass and liturgy, confessions, and some dynamic talks used to enkindle that fire and flame for our love and devotion of Christ. It's a five-day event this next year that's going to happen in July of 2024 in Indianapolis.
And I understand that people are already registering, hotels are starting to fill up and that sort of thing, right? So it's already well underway. People are anticipating this greatly.
That's true, yep. Their hope is to get 80,000 Catholics from the United States there in Indianapolis. So you don't want to wait to register.
Yeah, I think we can do even more than that.
I think we're going to do more. I honestly will. So least the official registrants will be 80,000, but I suspect it'll be more than that.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm guessing, because I know that the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, I think I've heard that we have the most perpetual adoration chapels of any diocese in the United States. Does that ring true to you, Father?
I've heard of that same statistic there, and I wouldn't doubt it. I know of many perpetual adoration chapels here in Archdiocese.
Yeah, well, there are many for sure, and I'm guessing that there's going to be a good showing of people from our local church at that Eucharistic Congress next July. So, what's the plan for the Congress? I know I've been following it somewhat with the website and everything. They're getting some pretty big name speakers, about as big as you can get in our country anyway, coming in to address people. I'm assuming there's going to be a good amount of Eucharistic adoration going on there as well. Teaching on the Eucharist, of course, Holy Mass, confessions, etc. Tell us a little bit more about what people could expect at the Congress.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned already there's some very big name speakers, many of which come from our own state, Minnesota. So Bishop Robert Barron, Bishop Cousins, who's a former auxiliary, Father Mike Schmitz. And so they have different track options. So that's one thing that's really unique about this National Congress, is that, you know, depending on your ministry and where you are at and your level of faith, there's different track options for you where you can select a particular path that's more catered towards where you're at spiritually. So for instance, there's five different track options: the encounter, Eucharistic missionary, ministry, youth, and family. They wanna make this as broad as possible. So hence, even families with young children to those who have been in ministry for decades can receive something and take home something from the Congress.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're whetting our appetite very well here, Father. We're speaking with Father Tim Trump about he's our point person in the Archdiocese about the upcoming Eucharistic Congress as well as the National Eucharistic Revival. And you've whet our appetites well for the Congress. How can people find out more about the Revival and about the Congress?
I would invite them firstly to visit eucharisticrevival.org. All your information is there. And on the top tab there, it would also lead you to the National Eucharistic Congress webpage, where you can learn more about these different track options and all the different speakers. As the Congress is being more cemented, more information, more different speakers and information about those tracks will be published, as well as there's a little link to the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage. So not many people would know, but to culminate, we're going to have four different Eucharistic procession routes from the four corners of the United States that will begin after Pentecost, May 2024, that will converge to commence the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. It will pass through our archdiocese here, and so more information will be published and communicated via our archdiocese of all the different details when it will pass through here as well.
Now, am I right, Father, that that's going to be, those are going to be walking pilgrimages? Like, they're going to be walking and processing pilgrimage from, like you said, all over the U.S., four different places in the U.S. to Indianapolis.
Yep, for the most part. We're going to try to walk as much as we can, but in those areas in our country where that's not conducive, we'll be able to go to the next stop. I can tell you here that we've already got a plan together, at least preliminary. I can tell you the dates that it will be here in our archdiocese for you to kind of keep in mind. It'll be May 24th through 31st of 2024. So keep your eyes open for those dates. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that as well. It's just, it's an amazing thing, and I can't wait to see what happens with the Congress. Now, a great way to prepare for the Congress, but even if you're listening now and you're thinking, nope, I'm not able to make it, I can't do it, maybe work is getting in the way, that sort of thing, whatever it is, I would strongly encourage you, though, to go if you can. I know we're talking here since we're broadcasting on Relevant Radio. Relevant Radio is a premier sponsor of the National Eucharistic Congress, and we're saying, let's show up for Jesus. Let's do it, Archdiocese. Let's show up for Jesus there. But a great way to prepare, or just a great thing to do in general, even if you're not going, is Eucharistic adoration. So, Father, I wanted to ask you, so in getting into Eucharistic adoration, maybe there's some people who haven't really had that experience. How would you advise people who are just kind of starting out in adoration? How would you advise them to begin?
I would say, using the same words as our Lord and Savior, come and see. Right? Come and see. Especially in our day and age where it's so loud, so much noise in our busy pace of American lifestyle with all the technology. I think every human soul is recognizing that, you know, we're not made to be so connected all the time. And we desire some kind of silence in our life, because that's in the silence where the Lord speaks, right? In a little silent whisper of our hearts. And so to discover Eucharistic adoration is really to rediscover the means by which God has created us, is to be in communion with Him. And so I think that will already elicit a hunger and desire to be in adoration. And let me use the words of Pope Francis in this past World Youth Day, you know, in a talk that he gave to the bishops and priests of Portugal. He was already telling them that it's only in adoration, right, that we are able to be in the presence of the Lord. We can rediscover our taste and passion for evangelization. So he's trying to say that in order to evangelize through active ministry, we need to be contemplative. We need to be in front of the Lord to listen to what he's saying. And so that's the words of our Holy Father, not the words of Father Tim or even the USCCB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Good point. And as the Holy Father's encouraging us, so would our own priests here and our archbishop and bishops here, of course, in the archdiocese, encourage people to get in there, to try it out, right? Go to the Adoration Chapel. And for some, and actually for many, as we noted before, this is already a beloved style of prayer and a beloved way of being before the Lord in particular ways as they are, you know, sitting there adoring Jesus present to us in the Eucharist. Any particular thoughts about as people are seeking, maybe they've been in adoration for years, maybe they have been adorers for decades even, yet is there still deeper that they can go with Jesus in the Eucharist, Father?
It's, you can never plunge the depths of our Lord's love, right? And so when you come and encounter him, you can just dive deeper, just as all the saints have, and you won't be able to drink all of that font, right? When you drink more from this water, you get even more thirsty. And so come and see.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Father, it's about time that we've wrapped up the interview here, but we're getting very excited, certainly for the National Eucharistic Congress, and we are excited to be within the National Eucharistic Revival. Even now, we thank you for your efforts and work to make sure that we are staying on track and up to date with that, and thank you for being on Practicing Catholic. May we have a blessing from you, Father, before we go?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all the many ways you shower your love upon us. You gave us your Son to be truly present with us in the Eucharist. Help us to hunger for this bread from heaven so that we can also lead others to that same encounter. We make this bread through Christ our Lord. And may the Amen. Blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Father Tim, we're so grateful again for your time with us. God bless you, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you, Patrick.
Many places to go for resources on the National Eucharistic Revival, but be sure to check out, as Father Tim said, eucharisticrevival.org. You can also check out eucharisticcongress.org, but you can get there from the Revival page as well. Let's show up for Jesus. Hope to see you there. You won't want to go anywhere. Miss Minnesota and Miss America hopeful Angelina Amerigo is with us right after this short break. Stay with us.
Bridging the gap between faith and everyday life.
People, they're tired of the voice of the world. They're not satisfied with the things of the world. It leaves them empty. You know, there's no foundation. They're tired of the relativism. They're tired of this culture of death. And God has written his laws on the human heart, and so there's always this yearning for truth. And when you have a vehicle like Relevant Radio, who is a contrarian voice, it's a voice that's contrary to what we're seeing in the secular media, the human heart is attracted to that because it's truth. And so we act as a voice contrary to the culture. Relevant Radio is also a voice contrary to the Protestantism that has often maligned the Catholic faith through, you know, misrepresentations. We're really performing a very unique function now in the world as we oppose this culture, which includes errors against the faith. And just what a wonderful vehicle for us to do that, Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know, I'm going to be honest. So-called beauty pageants have never really meant that much to me. I mean, sure, occasionally when I was a kid, my parents would have the Miss America pageant on TV, but I just wasn't that interested. Well, our next guest has kindled a good deal of interest for me, and I think she will for you, too. Angelina Amerigo was crowned Miss Minnesota in June and will represent our state in the Miss America pageant in January of next year. What's more, she is a parishioner at St. Bartholomew in Wayzata, and she says, "My faith has definitely been a firm foundation of everything and anything I've done." Miss Amerigo, if I may call you that. Angelina, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and such a beautiful intro. I feel honored.
Well, good, good. Well, I'm honored that you would join us here on Practicing Catholic. And, you know, it's true. I haven't had a lot of pageantry has not been a good part of my life. So, I mean, my exposure to it has been basically like the movie Miss Congeniality. Have you seen that movie?
Oh,
is that anything like
that movie? I think if I said no, it would be illegal in the world of Miss America. That's such a great movie. And you bring up such a great point because, you know, there are so many misconceptions, no pun intended,
right,
when it comes to the Miss America organization. And it took me a long time, too, to just really understand what the core values of the organization were and how to align that with my personal values and viewpoint. So it has been a really exciting journey. And of course, my faith has been right along the way.
Yeah, and we're grateful for that, and that's all the more reason why you're such an intriguing guest and why you've kindled interest in the pageant and certainly Miss America coming up in January as well. Now, you have quite a resume. I was looking over some of your past accomplishments here, and it's not even everything that you're being involved in. How long have you – well, first of all, how did you get started competing in pageants? How long have you been doing that?
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory to my life. So I was a competitive dancer for 17 years. And that was really the root of my like growing up age. I was a competitive dancer at heart, dancer, actor, singer. My entire family was involved in the arts. And skipping forward all the way to 2019, when I was graduating high school, I genuinely was just looking for that next step to launch me into my college career. I had switched over to online learning because of my busy schedule. My sophomore year of high school. And I really wanted to stick with just that diligent, flexible schedule going into college. This was pre-COVID. This was before online school was technically kind of cool, where you could like do things on your own time. So I jumped into kind of this world of online. And with that, I had a really open calendar. So I had a family friend of my mom's reach out, maybe my junior year of high school. And she was like, the Miss America and Miss Minnesota organization would be amazing for your daughter. She would still be able to use her talent of dance, because that is one of the really big components of the Miss America organization is talent.
Sure.
And honestly, when I tell you, I just jumped in head first, took the leap of faith, went to my first local competition in a small school auditorium, like in a gymnasium in Pearl, Minnesota in 2019, had no idea what I was getting myself into. And fun fact, did not even know that that like qualifying competition went on to compete at Miss Minnesota, which I then competed for Miss Minnesota for the first time in 2021. And I was second runner up my first year I competed. And in that moment, I remember sitting down on the couch the day I won my first local. And I was like, there's no way I could be Miss Minnesota. Like, this is just mind boggling to me. And then just kind of comes the story of the way that the Lord really just transformed and kind of really changed the desire in my heart for exactly what this season and this purpose was for. And we can chat a little bit more about that too.
Yeah, absolutely. And just curious though, when you mentioned competitive dance, a particular style of dance?
So I grew up at a dance studio dancer. So jazz, tap, ballet, ballroom, tap.
Sure.
You name it, I was probably doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. And you've even done some things that are pretty well known that way as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So growing up in, you know, that world, there's a lot of availability to also expend kind of that out of high school age. I had a lot of opportunities out of high school to go to kind of like those standard arts, you know, those leaps of faith, which are more so New York, LA, like going off to Broadway. And those really were kind of the desires of my heart at the time. I almost felt like I was holding myself back a little bit by staying in Minnesota. And granted, now I see the bigger picture of it all. But I was touring with, they're called Rebel Dance Convention, as a pro faculty assistant. So I was side by side with, you know, artists that have been on, you know, shows like Dancing with the Stars or So You Think You Can Dance, those shows that you see those professional dancers on. I was training with them. So yeah, there was a lot of opportunities there too, which made it even more interesting the way that the Lord was like, well, you have this and it's such a set foundation, but I'm going to throw this at you and we're going to go on this adventure.
What an amazing thing. Wow. And yeah, it's always an adventure when we're following the Lord. And I mean, buckle your seatbelt. That's what I always say. Buckle your seatbelt, because you never know where he's going to take you. And it's all related somehow to the plan that he has for us and how he wants us to grow in faith, hope, and love. So maybe that's a good question for you, Angelina. So how have you seen yourself grow from competition to competition, from pageant to pageant? What's the Lord doing within you?
Yeah, I would say, and I think trust is something that I'm continually learning just in life, but specifically in this journey, trust was one of the biggest things, perseverance and endurance. Those were kind of my three pillar points of words throughout my journey. And so going back to 2019, I was crowned my first local. And every single year when you go back to compete for Miss Minnesota, you need to start over and recompete for a local. So it was kind of this one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. And that was the three, now 4 year journey. So 2019, I competed then in 2021 because of COVID. I was second runner up. I recompeted for a local title. I went back to state in 2022. I was first runner up. So I genuinely was standing there hand in hand with our incredible Miss Minnesota, Rachel Evangelisto, that year. And I you know, really got a taste of what that was going to feel like. And then recompeted for a local title again just this last August. And then now competed for Miss Minnesota. And again, was hand in hand with our beautiful first runner up, Emily Schumacher, who's also Catholic, actually. And just standing there hand in hand with her and literally just speaking the truth in that moment of all in God's timing. And something I learned so clearly, and I brought up the word perseverance, but trust in those seasons, as, you know, interesting as it may sound, there's a lot of heaviness that comes in the world of pageantry. There's a lot of eyes on you. There's a lot of self-giving, a lot of self-love that is constantly being poured out. It's an organization that is rooted in community service. So, you know, some days are super fun. And then some days, you know, you're seeing really hard things if you're at Children's Miracle Network and you're praying with families. So there's a lot of fluctuation in emotions. And yeah, I think those three things just really really became like my own personal roots of, all right, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing it? And just continuing to put one step in the forward, one step in front of another, and just really trusting that God was guiding me in one way or another, and that somehow, in some way, this was all for his good. So.
We're speaking with Angelina Amerigo. You may recognize her as Miss Minnesota, who is getting, she's representing our state. She's on traveling. She's speaking. She's, we'll talk about your initiative in just a moment. Well, she's forwarding an initiative of Creation Care that's going on there as well. And she is, she is going to be representing our state in the Miss America pageant in January. Well, before we get to your initiative, and I do want to talk about that certainly, but as you enter into this frantically busy schedule that have, as you have speaking engagements and appearances and, you know, do local radio shows and even probably farther than local radio shows, yes. Right? And you're speaking on all these all things. How do you stay rooted in God? How do you stay rooted in your faith during all this?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And something that I've been chatting with a lot of my friends about, and one of those things is being rooted in a really good community of people that are holding you accountable, especially in a busy season, and really just finding and redefining what rest looks like. For me, I'm a very busy person naturally, even without the job of Miss Minnesota. So entering into the season of Miss Minnesota, the Lord was like, all right, now you're really going to learn. Now you're really going to understand how to prioritize time with me and prioritize rest. So one of the things personally, if you have a busy schedule, this is what I've learned, and you're listening to Relevant Radio, so you're kind of already there, but really just embedding those times with the Lord when you have them. So whether that's in the car for 10 minutes, driving from point A to point B, waking up in the morning as you're drinking your coffee, if you can't physically sit down, just finding these pockets of time, you know, especially in a busy schedule, can be really difficult because you almost, you know, there's this like temptation to be like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. But realizing when you do provide that time with the Lord, there's so much more that he does within your day. And you just become a lot more aware. And especially for me, when I'm, you know, representing not only the state, but just myself at so many public appearances, I am always constantly thinking about how I want to show up for my best self. And I've realized very quickly when I don't spend that time, I'm not my best self. So just kind of that reflection of me knowing that I'm taking the Lord into these appearances with me makes it even more important to take that time to really acknowledge, all right, we're in this together because you got me to this point. So how do we need to then continue moving forward in this process?
Yeah, great answer. And it strikes me as you're saying that. I mean, obviously you have a very public persona now, especially being Miss Minnesota and all that. But you know what? In the staying that rooted and grounded in your faith, taking advantage of every opportunity to draw close to the Lord, because you say, yes, you are representing Minnesota. But we all, as baptized Christians, of course, we're representing the Lord wherever we go. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. All right. Well, let's talk about your service initiative. Now, one bottle, one straw. Have I got that right? What? Tell us all about that.
Yes. Yeah, so my service initiative, one bottle, one straw, one bag at a time. It's actually a lot more complicated than it may sound, which is kind of the fun part about it. There's many layers to it. So it really started from this local based initiative and grew to this global scale, which is now where I'm talking with corporate companies on how they're embedding sustainable roadmaps for just basically a cleaner and better future. So it's not this big daunting, you know, removing plastic and plastic's the enemy. It's nothing like that. It's just simply providing clean and healthy future for our future generations. My favorite happy place and one of the places that I even go the most to spend the time that I do with the Lord is our lakes and rivers and our beautiful parks. And then that's also extended into my travel of going to the oceans. It's one of the places I feel most connected to the Lord. And I always have growing up. So when I went to go find a service initiative, there was a few things that came up in my mind. You know, being a dancer, I could have talked a lot about the arts. My grandfather had suffered with dementia and Alzheimer's. That was kind of in the back of my mind. And I was walking around the clotheslines with my family, my senior year of my dance nationals in Florida. And I had just seen trash and trash and trash and trash on the beaches. And I ended up just diving into a whole ton of research. And I think also physically seeing it too, just changed that what I was reading. You know, there's a tendency where you read a news article and it can be very dramatized. We all probably know that. But in this sense, it was something that I had also seen and it was tangible to me. And I just really wanted to be a part of a greater good. So that's kind of where that whole initiative was rooted in. And it's grown really beautifully since then.
And what, I mean, give us the specifics of it. I mean, obviously you're raising awareness and you're reducing the usage of one-time use plastics and that sort of thing. But I mean, what's something practical that a practicing Catholic listener could do in response to this initiative?
Yeah, so it's right in the title, one bottle, one straw, one bag at a time. So when I created that title, it was really in an essence just wrapping up those three daily items that we most likely all use the most in our day-to-day life without even thinking about it. So if you think about a plastic water bottle on your way out the door of the house, you know, you're getting a straw at the McDonald's drive-thru with your pop, or you're at the grocery store and you're taking the plastic bag, just making those mindful initiative steps to think, all right, well, this item, although I'm using it for maybe 3 minutes, actually will decompose in about 1,000 years. And I actually think that it somewhat correlates to our faith in a really interesting way, kind of that, you know, react and response of how we think and do things in life. You think about, okay, if I do this, this is then the repercussion of that, right? So kind of in a sense, just wrapping that into the initiative as well.
That's really insightful. I like that. Yeah, because oftentimes I know when I make a choice that is not for my good, when I make a choice that is sin, I don't really think about, well, how is this going to affect me long term? So yeah, I love it. Right. Yeah, great analogy there. I love it. So just wrapping up here, Angelina, I was so grateful that you've joined us and everything. And I'm sure that our practicing Catholic listeners will, A, want to know how to stay up to date with you and your initiatives and everything. And then B, maybe you can give us one or two ways that we can pray for you.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. Thank you so much for asking. So starting off with how you can follow my journey, because I'm sure we're making so many friends here. I know you can't see me, but you can hear my voice. So if you want to physically see all the things that I'm doing on an online platform, on Instagram, you can find my handle. It's just at Miss America MN. And then on Facebook, it's just Miss Minnesota. So I would love to see all the friends who are listening, follow along and send me a message. If you heard this interview, I'd love to chat even more. My DMs are always open. And as for praying for me, really within this transition of season, I think one of the biggest things I can just gratefully ask for is just, again, that value of redefining rest and being able to set a time that side for the Lord, but also just a continued blessing over the year as I travel around the state of Minnesota and as I represent Minnesota on the Miss America stage. You know, it's such a big platform and at times it can be a little daunting. So just recognizing that I'm not in it alone. And like I said, now I have all these friends who are listening too. So I'm very grateful for all the prayers, all the thoughts, and just very grateful.
Very good. Angelina, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we wish you the very best. May God continue to use whatever he has for you in order to further his kingdom and his love for you. So thank you, Angelina, for joining us on Practicing Catholic.
Thank you so much.
You can keep up to date with Angelina, including upcoming appearances, and find out more about her initiative on creation care, all on her website as well, angelinaamerigo.com. Coming up next on Practicing Catholic, when we come back, we'll talk with folks from Guardian Angels in Oakdale about how they're providing hospitality to refugees and how they'll teach you to do the same. We'll be right back. Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer.
The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Giving us some great advice on how to discern God's will and then how to move forward and seek to do God's will in our life.
And I think this is important, Patrick. Sometimes we imagine that God is putting difficult decisions on us and then watching over us as if he's maniacally waiting for us to trip up and make some bad decision and go astray, and just he's trying to see whether it's going to work out for us or not. And that's not how he looks at us. He wants us to succeed, right? He wants us to persevere in his will. Even if we make a wrong decision, he will help us to get back on track. It's so important to act, and I think we, especially in our own times, have a problem with this, right? We have difficulties with analysis paralysis, where we look at something for so long, right? We're just paralyzed. We can't follow through with it.
Yeah, hang on. Let me overthink this.
It's The Inner Life with Patrick Conley, 11 a.m. Central Time on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Kayla Mayer, our producer, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the studio at the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Hospitality may seem like a rather innocuous thing, something that's nice and kind to do and usually appreciated, but perhaps not a sort of make or break life or death thing. Try telling that to those who have fled their homes and nations to seek out refuge and sanctuary in the Twin Cities. Joining me now are three representatives from Guardian Angels in Oakdale to talk about refugee resettlement right here in our local church, the Archdiocese. First, Terry Quinn, welcome to you.
Welcome, Patrick. Thank you.
And Janet Manor, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And Mary Lambert, great to have you on the show as well.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here too.
All right. Well, let's talk about how you got involved with refugee resettlement here at Guardian Angels and in the Twin Cities, maybe more broadly. So how about Mary? Why don't we start with you? How did you get involved at first?
You know, I have to say it was probably a bulletin announcement asking for volunteers back in 2017. Our church social justice and outreach director had started an initiative and was seeing if there was interest in the parish to help sponsor a family. So I showed up at a meeting with other people interested in learning more about that ministry, and that led to being part of the mentor team, which is the group of people who continue to meet with the families and help them get acclimated to our country.
Yeah, very good. All right. Thank you, Mary. Janet, how about you? How did you first get involved with this?
Well, I'm a teacher in a local district here in the cities. And so a lot of my student population is already refugee and immigrant children. And so I hold those children near and dear to my heart. And I had been seeing, kind of like Mary in the bulletin, about the possibility of doing the refugee resettlement, being, you know, helping the families. And I kept thinking about it, but I never really took that initiative to actually go to the meeting, because I just felt like I'm kind of a busy mom and I'm a teacher already. And so there was a lot of things going on in my life. But during the summer, I was always the Vacation Bible School craft leader. And at that time, they were doing some things with the new refugee family that the church had sponsored. And so it just ended up where I was doing some things through Vacation Bible School with the family. And we were making some gifts for the family from the craft end of it. And so it just became like a natural bridge for me to join the committee. And it's been so rewarding in that aspect. So I'm just super happy that I took that initiative.
Yeah. Well, what I'm hearing from both Mary and Janet is that bulletin announcements work. So that's a good thing to know and keep that in mind. All right, let's go on to Terry. Terry, how did you get involved?
Well, it's part of my job, Patrick, and I'm really glad though that they have refugee resettlement here. Actually, when I heard about that and I have a big passion for mission. And then I realized, wow, I have my mission right here, and we get to reach out to those that need, you know, a home and comfort, and we can do that for them.
Mm-hmm. And Terry, just to clarify there, you are the Director of Justice and Outreach at Guardian Angels, is that correct?
That is right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So it is part of your job, but something that you sounds like you're very happy to be partaking in as well. So tell me about how the whole program works. I mean, first of all, how do you find the refugees what do you do for them to offer them hospitality and help them to get acclimated to the U.S.? Terry, let's start with you with that question first.
We're working with Minnesota Council of Churches, a reference from the Basilica. And we haven't worked with them before, but we will see how well, you know, it all entails. I think in the past they've worked with Lutheran Social Services, and this time we're going to be working with another family. Mary or Jan actually could share more of the specifics as they see how it has happened in the past.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jan, how about you? What actually happens here? I mean, what do you offer to people who are seeking refuge in the America?
Well, first, and Mary can kind of help if I don't get this all right. But when we get a match, so we'll say that we'll sponsor a family through our church, and then whichever agency we're working with, Lutheran Social Services or the new place, what is it called again?
Minnesota Council of Churches.
Minnesota Council of Churches. Yes, they'll make a match with us, and when we get matched with the family, then we get the details of setting up an apartment. Usually the agency usually will find some sort of housing for the family. And then once that's taken care of, then we start seeking donations for furniture to set the apartment up. And so then when the family actually comes, they are all set up with a fully furnished, for the most part, apartment. Wow. And then from there, we just start kind of, we usually do like a welcome circle. So the family, the agency, and the Guardian Angels mentor team is a part of that. And then we meet the family, we kind of do introductions, and then we kind of set a plan of how we want to go from there. You know, like, what days of the week would work for them to maybe do some tutoring, what things that they want, they need help in, like tutoring, setting things up, going on field trips just around the city to learn about the city and learn how to navigate the bus system, how to get a library card, how to navigate the library, all those things that we as American citizens just kind of take for granted that we know how to do, but people from a different country coming into our world don't know how to do. So just those kind of things.
Right, right. Absolutely. We're speaking with Terry Quinn, Jan Manner, and Mary Lambert on just refugee resettlement, but specifically through new efforts that Guardian Angel, well, continued efforts that Guardian Angels in Oakdale is putting out in that regard. Now, Mary, it sounds like it's a pretty intensive time. I mean, does this eat up a lot of time for people to help acclimate these folks to living in the U.S.?
You know, I would say our team, our first team had about 10 of us on the mentor team, and we would not go visit and do things all together as a group. So dividing things between us, in the beginning, we probably visited them twice a week. Then we transitioned into once a week and then maybe once a month. And we took different things that we were familiar with. So somebody might take school activities and help facilitate school parent-teacher conferences and tutoring. Somebody else might take on the financial support and help them navigate banking and whatever else they might need. The agencies that we worked with really helped support their medical needs. So taking into appointments and things like that, we didn't do with the first two families, but the third family, we helped more in that line. So we're just kind of available to do whatever needs arise. And with a collection of people, the responsibility and the time commitment doesn't fall just to one person. We really, it's a team effort. Yeah. So people just are flexible and fill in wherever they can.
Well, and I'm intrigued. I mean, there are many things that I hope and that our listeners are kind of latching onto and saying, well, I could do something like that. Well, stay tuned, folks. We're going to have something for you in just a second here. But first, I wanted to ask you, Janet, now, are there a number of different countries that these families are coming from, or does it seem to be one particular area of the world, or is it all over?
The three families that we have sponsored, two of them have been Karen families. So they have, they were living in Thailand refugee camps, but they're actually from the country of Myanmar. So that's kind of more Southeast Africa, or I'm sorry, Asia, sorry, Southeast Asia. And then the latest family, the third family that we sponsored has been in Afghanistan, from Afghan, or they're Afghans. Wow. So from the whole resettlement of the Afghanistan families. But, you know, there's a lot of like African families, Southeast Asian. So they come from all over.
Hmm. Very good. All right. Well, this sounds very exciting to me and really an opportunity to help welcome somebody else. I'm guessing people who are pretty grateful for the help and the assistance that you give in terms of getting them settled here in the U.S. and helping them to understand how we live our life as Americans, which, as you said, we, I think, oftentimes take for granted as people might be unfamiliar to others who are just coming into our shores for the first time. So there is a refugee resettlement seminar coming up there at Guardian Angels. Terry, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
That will be Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m. We will have a representative for the Minnesota Council of Churches, Pat, and another person here to get us signed up and hopefully ready to have a family in September. I mean, that's what they're hoping, that we have 8 to 10 people there. And we have a core team of like 3 or 4 people that you know, which is the very key. And I know 4 or 5 other people have already mentioned that they will be there. And we look forward to, you know, moving on.
And it doesn't, I'm guessing you don't have to necessarily be a Guardian Angels parishioner in order to get involved with this. Is that right, Terry?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is open to anyone to come and to learn more about what it would be to join a refugee resettlement team, to be part of one of these things and working with Minnesota Council of Churches, inviting people all around the Archdiocese that are interested in joining the team to find out more. Again, Thursday, August 17th at 7 p.m. right there at Guardian Angels. Have I got all those details correct?
I think it's 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Okay.
6 p.m.,
my
sorry.
Mistake. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll make sure and get that as well in our calendar items as we're talking about that as well. So if this is intriguing to you, certainly check it out. A refugee resettlement seminar coming up at Guardian Angels Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m. All right. Well, just to ask the questions about what it means to get involved. What kind of fruit have each of you seen? Well, especially Mary and Janet, it sounds like you've been involved with this for quite some time. What has this meant to you in your own life of following after Christ? So Mary, let's start with you.
It's been very rewarding. The helpfulness that you can offer in so many little ways and things that we take for granted has just been very rewarding and fulfilling. It's been very helpful to get exposed to both the Karen culture as well as our Afghan friends' culture. We find that we have differences, but there are so many similarities. We're just all people of God, and it's just been wonderfully fulfilling to meet them and know that we can make a difference. The English language is really complicated. Maybe my biggest aha moment is how hard it is to transition to our country and not be able to communicate with words. But in spite of that, we really have been able to become friends with them. We've maintained our friendship with them over the years, helped them with whatever life events come up. So I see it as a long-lasting friendship that we will always have. They've been so appreciative, and they're just heartwarming and gracious to be friends with them. So I would say it's a wonderfully, wonderful experience.
That's great. Thank you for that. Janet, how about you? What are some of the ways that you've seen God really working in the midst of all of this?
It has been such a rewarding experience. Not only is the family so appreciative, but like when just little things that you don't really think are making much of a difference, just, you know, tutoring them or helping them go to a parent-teacher conference, or they're just so appreciative of having that support network in this country for somebody to fall back on. And so it's just doing the talk and walking through Christ, just, you know, doing those little things that matter to people. And so it has been so rewarding. I can't even express it with words, but Mary did a really nice job saying, you know, that it is lasting friendships. And through our first family that we sponsored, we've gone to a Karen wedding, something that I never would have experienced before. And seeing the oldest daughter that's married now, she's had a child, and then raising that child. And then some of the Karen daughters in that first family are working in like daycare settings and early childhood settings. And to me, being coming from that teaching standpoint, it's just like, wow, they have accomplished so much in such a little amount of time that they've been here, that it's just, it's so fulfilling to see that, that journey that they've gone through and the struggles they've gone through, but they've made the most of it.
Yeah. Wow. Wonderful. What a great reminder that just a little bit of effort on the earthly end in God's hands can really achieve some great heavenly rewards. Well, we are so grateful for the things, the work that you're doing amongst refugees in our midst, and I'm hoping this is inspiring many people to get involved and interested as well. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time, so we need to say goodbye, but thank you so much for taking the time to explain all of this to us, and we'll pray that the Refugee Resettlement Seminar goes very well. God bless you all.
Thank you, Patrick.
Again, that seminar is coming up Thursday, August 17th at 6 p.m. there at Guardian Angels in Oakdale. You can check out more at archspm.org/events. Coming up, we're going to have some calendar items, other events coming up to help you enrich your faith this summer. So stay with us.
A listener talks about how Relevant Radio has changed her life.
Oh, Dr. Ray, I am 68 years old, believe in God tremendously, say the rosary first thing in the morning, and I want to tell you how God has healed me. One day I was riding down the street and you told the story about your mother. I started laughing in my car, and I cannot tell you, it broke my depression, and I have been so much closer to the Lord and peaceful and everything since then. It was the beginning of a road to recovery for me. I think the Lord has got a sense of humor and he worked through you. And that day, I'll never forget the way I laughed. And that laughter was the best medicine I ever had.
Please call 877-291-0123 or go online to relevantradio.com to make your donation now.
Well, bless you, honey. I'm glad to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
Thank you. And God bless you.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Thanks for tuning into the show today. As always, if you'd like to go back and listen to any part of the show or all of it, you can go to practicingcatholicshow.com, where you can also find links to our fantastic social media presences, where we ask you to, of course, Paul, this is your cue, like us.
Like us! Please, like us!
All right, just checking in. Practicingcatholicshow.com is where you want to go. Hey, we got a seminary information night coming up August the 15th. That's the Solemnity of the Assumption from 5 to 8 p.m. at the St. John Vianney College Seminary in St. Paul. This is for Catholic junior and senior high school men and their parents who would like to learn more about the St. John Vianney College Seminary. It's going to have Mass and then followed by dinner, an informational program, and a seminary tour, but an RSVP is required. So you can RSVP at archspm.org/events.
Blessed is She is having a burn revival August 18th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Our Lady of Peace in Minneapolis. Women are invited to join in prayer with the Blessed is She community, worship, and listen to a beautiful talk by Beth Davis. Enter into a holy hour. Confession is available for you to receive the Lord's mercy and goodness. Cost is $40. Find the link to register at archspm.org/events.
And Beth Davis, actually, who's giving the talk that night, will be joining us on Practicing Catholic in the next month. So even more incentive to go check that out.
Awesome. It's always good to have Blessed is She guests on. I mean, they've done a great job with us before. So I look forward to speaking with Beth. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm excited to have her on. Coming up as well, we have the Catholic Social Difference Speaker Series. So that's going to be every Thursday beginning August 31st. From 7 to 8:15 p.m. at the Church of the Assumption in St. Paul. This four-week series of conversations with local Catholic leaders will introduce Catholic social teaching and imagine how to practice it in real life. The event is free and open to the public.
And we had some conversation about that with Colin Miller, too, and I know that they've got some really, some big-name local speakers taking part in that. So do check it out, Catholic Social Difference Speaker Series going on. As always, there's a whole bunch of other things.
A plethora.
Yes, I knew it. I knew it was coming, Paul. Thank you for doing that.
A cornucopia.
Right on cue. Of all sorts of things, of Catholic summer events still going on here. Just hop on over to archspm.org/events and check that out. Coming up next week, Nicole Bettini is our new delegate for consecrated life for the Archdiocese. She's going to be with us to explain what that's all about and the life of a consecrated virgin living in the world. Simon Pick from the Church of the Assumption is also going to be with us on Music in Mass. Ooh, man. Controversial subject.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully that conversation will go well. Yeah, exactly. Right. There's a lot of that goes on. And then also Deacon Nick Vance is going to be with us talking about the Delight program at Dunroven, all about training our high schoolers in leadership. So good show coming up next week. Good show this week. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.